Do you people know the top three New Year's resolutions? Most common. These are going to be kind of easy. This is sort of simple to get. First one, of course, is what? Lose weight. Interesting little tidbit related to this. In the publishing world, the number one selling type of book in the country are cookbooks. The number two selling type of book in the country, diet books. A little bit of a schizophrenic approach to things. Now, number one, New Year's resolution, lose weight. Number two, quit smoking. Of course, it's kind of stupid to have those two resolutions together, you know, because pretty much anybody will tell you when you quit smoking, you gain weight. But, and number three, to exercise more. Now, the problem is, and I haven't seen any actual surveys on this, but my gut tells me, no pun intended on New Year's resolution here, my gut tells me that by February 1st, for about 70% of people, those resolutions are down the drain. So I have an idea. If you have a 70% chance of not following through on your New Year's resolution to exercise more or to lose weight, what if you did this? Why don't you just decide, and you have to do this for next year because it's already too late. Next year you're going to resolve to gain weight and to do less exercise. Therefore, you got a 70% chance of breaking those resolutions, then you can lose weight and exercise. You see? That's why I'm here for you. Now, another thought. And please don't go away. Adele, Alicia, Heidi, I want to talk to all of you. Please don't go away. But I've been bursting with stuff to say. My wife says, I can't wait till you get back on the radio. You're obnoxious. And I'd say, can you just hold to the break, honey? Hold through the break. You got to understand, it's hard to do radio and live a family life. You people don't understand this. I'm teaching my 16-year-old son to drive. We let him drive periodically. You know, I mean, 16, could be 17 in a few months. We let him, you know, back the car up and down the driveway. And by the time he's 19, I think I'll let him back it out onto a side street. By the time he's 21, maybe I'll let him, drive down a dead-end alley and back. We go slow. Well, we drive underneath an overpass, and because I'm on the radio so much, my voice disappears. We'll be talking, driving along on the interstate, and I'll be saying something, you know, fatherly. Hey, you kids knock it off back there. I'm going to pull this car. Don't make me. It just fades right out, and you come back in. That's because a lot of our stations are AM. Now, we've got some affiliates that are FM, and I don't always do that. I just want to raise one more thought here before we go to the lines. With the holidays over, I know that many of you have tried to reduce the obscene influx of stuff at Christmas time. It comes from everywhere. And that wouldn't be so bad, except that all year long, your kids get stuff, right? It's not like the old days when you wait for Christmas. Remember, you know, January 3rd, I'd ask my mom, you know, Mom, I'd really like to have a sled. Well, you know, say your prayers and be good for the next year, and maybe you'll get one next Christmas. You always got something next Christmas. Well, nowadays, kids get stuff the next day. And you get stuff just because you exist. Get your hair cut, you get three rubber spiders, you know, your Sunday school verses, five bags of candy, six sticker books. Grandma dies the Toys R Us truck up over now every couple of weeks. So you know as well as I do, Christmas has become excessive for many, many families. Just excessive. Aunts and uncles that you don't see once every 11 months drop off a shovel full of gifts, a front end loader, a big bucket. And what do? Do you want to take the stuff? Do you say thank you? Do you bring it in? Oh, a Barbie! You know, just what I always wanted my three-year-old to have. A Barbie doll complete with makeup and nail polish and a short skirt. I was hoping I could hold off till she was four, but gee, what a nice gift. So what do? Well, there's a simple rule about gifts. I don't want to sound too cold here, but once a gift is given, it's yours. Or you being the guardian of the child, even if it's their gift, it's your gift. Which means, give it away. Give it to Children's Hospital. Give it to Toys for Tots for next year. Give it to Goodwill. Give it to a family you know who doesn't get anything. Give it to Angel Tree. You have no obligation to keep stuff just because people give it to you. You don't. You have an obligation to raise the kind of child you wish to raise, and if you want to raise a generous, sacrificial, appreciative human being, you simply cannot let them be assaulted, the focal point, if you will, of a steady stream from every angle of gifts which meets right at the child. Some of your kids are getting older. You look at Christmas and you say, boy, I tell you what, Christmas Eve was ugly. It was like a ripping frenzy. The child was just smelled wrapping paper and just started thrashing his head from side to side as he grabbed a hold of the package in his teeth and started ripping. And I thought I saw a fin on his back cut through the Christmas tree. Well, how about starting? You know, some gifts can be put aside. Now, you don't even have to hold on to them. Keep them wrapped. Give them away. The younger your kids are when you start this, the better. You don't have to keep it. If somebody gives your kid a gift, say somebody goes out and buys the latest, most popular violent video game for your 12-year-old son. Are you going to say, well, I sure wish they wouldn't have bought it, but, you know, it is Aunt Cleo got it for him, so I guess I better let him play it. So when she comes over and says, how do you like your video game? And he says, gee, Ma, I really like that part where they put the machine gun. No. You have no obligation to accept what, in your judgment, is not good for your child, either qualitatively or quantitatively. My wife said several Christmases ago, out loud, a statement to herself, and she recognized as a parent what she was saying. One of our daughters got a gift that was well beyond her level socially, shall we say. And my wife said, and this is the neat thing about my wife, because when I say things out loud, she doesn't recognize it, but when she says things out loud, she does recognize it. She said, well, if it were up to me, I wouldn't let her have it. Ding, 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 ding. She realized, well, who's it up to? It is up to her. I had one mother tell me, and I've heard this many, many times since, by the way, yeah, his grandmother got him a TV set for his bedroom. There's no way I want a TV set up there, but grandma got it for him. What do I do now? So I just put it up there. But I'm pretty strict. I don't get cable. We only get 13 channels. And the remote doesn't work real well. He has to get up from the bed to change the channel. Ditch the TV. Grandma would go crazy. Well, that's sad that she would. But what about honor your mother and father? Well, of course, but you don't honor your mother and father by allowing them to do things that you don't think are good for your kids or your family. That has nothing to do with honor. I asked this mom a question. Well, what if grandma gave him a bag of marijuana? Would you take it? Well, no, of course not. Well, then, really, we're just quibbling over differences on a continuum here. Because if you don't want a TV up there for many reasons that you think are negative to the kid's social, emotional, and moral well-being, then why accept it?